Ignorance is the official language of Washington, D.C.
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello and welcome to the Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby.
My name is Chris Kelly.
It is Friday, April 13th, day 448, which is longer than CM Punk's reign.
Yes.
Which makes me very upset. Well, seems like somebody is all in.
You know, it's day 448 of the Universal Championship reign of Donald Trump. I think Brock is going to beat Punk's record, but yeah, he's not going to beat Trump's record.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's the hot take.
We're recording in Washington, D.C., home of the Trump International Hotel, not Trump Tower, which is where the love child comes from, but that will close the show.
So we will get there.
We're teasing that out.
Yes. This is a podcast about the intersections between pro wrestling and politics. We should say it's presidential politics, but just all politics, because everything's a work.
Yeah.
And nothing's a shoot.
It's sort of like how this is a bipartisan show that covers both the WWE universe and the indies. But like, no, it's bipartisan. We like both the WWE universe and the indies. We've established this.
We're Team Red and Team Blue.
Yeah. We like Raw and SmackDown. So the problem with this is whenever people are like, oh, I only follow TNA. Number one, you're a liar.
No one's ever said
exactly
that.
Or I only like Ring of Honor. You're a liar. Yeah. Everything ends up in the WWE universe. Everything ends up under WWE Hall of Famer Donald Trump's purview. So
yeah,
the personal is political. And Finn Balor club for everyone.
Yeah, Balor club for everyone. So last weekend, it feels like a long time ago. It's only like 5 days ago.
Not to me.
Well, you know, it was a long Mania week. Because Mania week starts on Friday with the Hall of Fame. Then you got NXT with all your 5-star matches on Saturday. Then you have 7 hours of wrestling or more on Sunday. And then you have Monday Night Raw, SmackDown, NXT, 205 Live. We do it all again, and we do this podcast. So it was just a long week. Much like that, WrestleMania was really good, just really long.
Yeah.
They told the right stories.
Yeah.
And like the right people. The winner, since this is predetermined.
Yeah.
The winner only matters in that you tell a good story and the hero usually triumphs over evil. That's just it's basic storytelling. Mm-hmm. And we had that. You know, Daniel Bryan and Shane beat Owens and Zayn. They lose their jobs, even though Kevin Owens has a family support. He lost his job, so he's the bad guy.
Which was my favorite match of the night for one obvious reason. It was the one and only appearance of SBA head Linda McMahon.
Yes, and the ringside.
And we haven't seen a Trump cabinet member at a WrestleMania in a very long time. So it was nice to see her return to form.
Yeah, it was good. You know, she wasn't comatose, and she didn't have to hit anyone in the balls. It was nice.
She was just...
didn't have to.
She was elevating a small business. I mean, clearly these workers aren't unionized. They're just a small business.
They can't. Yeah. You know how like small businesses complain they can't afford health insurance because the cost would be too much? It's like that, except it's a $1 billion business. Kurt Angle and Ronda Rousey, as he would call her, went over Triple H and Stephanie. I was getting a little nervous. I got worked because it only makes sense for Ronda if they want to make money off her for her to win. But I just figured maybe they would find a way to like have her not eat the pin or something. But yeah, it worked. It was just long, 20 minutes. I lost that prop bet.
That seems to be everyone's favorite match.
Yeah, I need to rewatch, kind of pick out matches and rewatch them.
Do you need to rewatch this?
I rewatched the Intercontinental match already.
But that one was fun.
Yeah, no, I probably won't
watch.
And you
didn't need to worry about anyone's like well-being and health, like Kurt Angle dying.
So how much do you think Rousey has that like, she can perform better on a big stage, or like how much of it do you think they were or just she was learning on the job, like because her first appearances were real bad.
Both.
Yeah, but then
she's
she did
not
that close
a talker.
But she did that even her physicality like was real bad in the Raws leading up, but then she did that clothesline into a roll. She looked really good.
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
But well, I also think that they need to figure out a way for her finisher to be called like the Flat Earther or
that's AJ. Yeah, the false flag armbar. Okay. Alexa, Nia Jax defeated body shamer Alexa Bliss.
But then they continued the story the next night.
Yes, and they will keep continuing it because that's all they knew how to tell. And then the pre-show matches. They told little stories in the Battle Royales, and the Cruiserweight mm-hmm. match was very good.
My favorite part of the Matt Hardy this WrestleMania weekend was sharing a tweet of Matt Hardy meeting Days of the New.
That's amazing.
Which Travis. Is the new day.
What's his name? Travis?
Yeah,
something? Okay. Days of the New.
It's so great.
Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt, the new tag team, the leader of worlds. it had good squashes, which we don't usually see.
Yeah.
Usually there's bad squashes. Matches were like, oh, that was kind of a waste of time. But no, Cena got his match against Taker with a little bit of Elias, which was fun.
Yeah.
Cesaro and Sheamus lost to Braun Strowman and a little boy.
Who is the ring, like the guy that sits up the ring, son?
No, referee.
Referee, I apologize.
Yes.
Oh, we're thinking apologize. Of a different lawsuit.
Apologize to Nicholas.
Oh, if you're ever bored, put in your Google box WWF plus ring boys plus lawsuit.
Ugh,
and God. That'll occupy some
that'll ruin
few
your day.
Hours.
Usos and New Day, and then the Bludgeon Brothers just bludgeoned them, which was what should have happened.
Yeah, I just didn't like that because, you know, five men of color versus two men called the Bludgeon Brothers.
So here's the thing.
With hammers, and they go over.
The WWE Universe does not see color. So
they see all of the colors in Technicolor. Finn Balor. Balor Club for everyone.
Yes. And then they had matches with surprising winners. Speaking of Balor, he gets the new gay pride flag gear. Mm-hmm. He comes out with local members of the gay community.
Mm-hmm. Just had a question for AJ. I was just wondering how you feel about your large following in the gay community.
The gay community.
Community.
There we go. We'll put AJ right there.
And I could have sworn he was going over just because he seems like he's getting a big push, but they put on Seth up in his White Walker.
It's interesting to me because
he's a White Walker.
You thought that meant he was going over, and that's what made me convinced he was not going over.
There you go. So yeah,
you got to give it to the guy that has the white power mistress, Seth Rollins.
You keep bringing that up. That was like years ago. He deleted those pics. She's been deleted. Yeah, Charlotte beats Asuka, then loses the. That was my match of the night.
Yeah, that was the. No, that was not my match of the night.
Yeah, that she did that. That's C4 off the Spanish fly off the top rope. She always brings out a new move in these big matches.
It was amazing. It was the most athletic match of the night.
Yeah. AJ Nakamura was like a good. It was two acts of a three act match.
This was my favorite match of the night.
Okay. Because
it was classic heel turn. We're going to lean into racial stereotypes in every possible way.
Wait, are you saying the Japanese guy did a sneak attack?
He did a sneak attack. He kneeled to the white man and then hit him in the dick.
Yeah, well, because they had already teased that earlier where Asuka did like.
The
you know,
handshake of the hand, like you were ready for
you
Asuka.
Were ready for me and I suck and putting her over, but yeah, it didn't look great with a Asian woman being subservient to a someone who her finishing move used to be called the natural selection. She talked about how she was genetically
they should give
superior.
That to Rhonda.
Yeah, there you go. The Nakamura stuff is fun because there's a classic. I don't know if we've ever talked about this on the show, but there's a classic wrestling. Legend, because I can't find any actual sources on it, just Wikipedia.
Was this in the Gorgeous George book? Was this in the Shoemaker book?
It's been repeated. I think it's in Shoemaker. It's been repeated so many times. It is really a legend. It's Tojo Yamamoto, who is not actually Japanese, but who played a Japanese...
That's in our book.
Okay.
That's in the book. The list of all the people. We talked about this footnote for like a week. Of like the actual origin of everyone.
And the people playing like ethnic
villains. Everyone's from Minnesota, really.
Right. He wasn't, but I think he may be Hawaiian or something. But he played a Japanese wrestler in the 50s, a Japanese character in wrestling in the 50s. And he was allegedly, I'll just quote this from Wikipedia, wrestling in Boaz, Alabama, Yamamoto gave one of the great performances in pro wrestling. Before the start of the matches, he asked to give a statement to the crowd, which booed and hissed and threw things. In broken English, he said, I'm not doing the broken English. I wish, make apology, very sorry, my country bomb, Pearl Harbor. And the crowd quiets as he wipes away tears and they awe and sympathy. It wrong thing to do. I wish not happen. They begin to applaud. Yes, I wish not happen because instead I wish they bombed Boaz, Alabama. Needless to say, the arena erupted. And that's just good heel work. And that's what Nakamura is doing on Tuesday. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't speak English, Renee.
It's great.
Just leaning in.
Before we get to Monday and Tuesday, we need to talk about Brock versus Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Okay.
I'm in the minority.
I actually don't mind it. Someone pointed out, imagine you're Roman Reigns, you show up to work, you think you're going to win the title, and Vince is like, hey, pal, come in here and steal the title. Brock, the real fighter, he's going to bust your head open with his elbow. What do you think about that, pal?
It was
a horrible job.
Every year we talk about the money lines for this fake sport, and we never bet.
Yeah.
We got to start betting.
Got to start betting. Got to find a book that will take this, you know.
We could have made money.
People did. People bet because the line did tighten.
Come on.
Not tighten. Not T-I-T-A-N. It tightened.
This is maybe... this is one of those few shows that, like, normal people will listen to because it has, like, WrestleMania in the title, and we're, like, the most in the weeds.
No, but the thing... The story on this is the culmination of a four-year project to make Roman Reigns the guy.
Not the culmination.
It was expected to be the culmination, and that's the story coming in. It's like, okay, this is the thing. Brock, even if he doesn't go back to UFC, even if that's a work as it's been in the past, where he kind of can just do fights... They lend him out or whatever. They give him a break from fighting.
All these men are independent contractors. No one's loaning anybody. Yeah, they can do whatever they want. This is not like real sports where there's like you get paid X amount and there's like you can't slip and fall in a hot tub and get paid. No, they're not under real contracts. It's all made up bullshit.
Yeah, so this made up bullshit was supposed to we all assumed Roman was going to win, get booed, and then be the champion. Brock would go fuck off for a little while. But instead, even though he kicked out of the five times?
Something like that, yeah.
And then even though Brock took his MMA gloves off because it was time to work, and it was time to shoot, actually, and he did what he did to Orton, but even more effective, I think.
It was great.
He had the real Crimson Mask, which, and the cut, I can't, you know.
The Orton one didn't seem necessary. What we're referring to is after Brock's most recent UFC fight at SummerSlam, he faced Randy Orton and just made him bleed a lot for seemingly no reason.
Yeah, he just like straight elbowed him in the head, really gnarly cut.
This one, there seemed to be a reason. Like, you're not taking the F5s, well, now I'm going to real fight you.
Yeah, and so it worked in the storyline, yeah. So, but the intrigue here is the stuff that allegedly happens after where, this is all allegedly because it's all fake, and... They know that people want to know what happens backstage, so they make up stories and work the fans and work the boys. Brock goes backstage, yells at Vince, throws the belt at him, storms off because he's pissed about something. There's also rumors this could have been a little bit of an audible to finish it this way.
Sure.
Because Vince realized he's not going to get the moment that he wants with Roman, storytelling-wise and coronation-wise, so he just says, fuck it, we'll do it later. I think it's because Brock was pissed because he realized he's going to have to do the job after he flies to Jeddah, Saudi Arabia.
I think Brock is pissed because his wife sued the company, Sable sued the company for sexual harassment. Yeah. I think that's why he's pissed.
Yeah, no, he's a...
17 years later.
Yeah. You didn't see his Ban All Men tattoo? Brock All Men. Yeah.
Actually, that would be a great t-shirt.
Actually, they're trying to do Balor All Men, but... No, I mean...
It would also be a great t-shirt.
Yeah, it was a good... It's good because it ended the night in a real surprise.
Yeah.
It's probably more shocking than when Brock beat Taker at 30.
Agreed.
And I'll tell you the truth, like that seems like the common sense now, but that was not the expectation when he broke the streak. So, I mean, this one, I don't think anyone really saw this happening. So it's surprising. So they actually were able to surprise us in a fake sport where we know how the story should end.
One of my favorite manias because there was no real celebrity appearance. There was no extended concert. The Hall of Fame did not include Kid Rock.
Yeah. He just got to look like a pederast.
I mean, like, Kid Rock showed up on Friday, but he wasn't at Sunday, therefore he did not perform, which made the show, even though it was 7 hours long, shorter.
Yeah.
So the only way to make this better is to make it shorter, and that's not going to happen. So, yeah. Good job.
And, you know, everyone gets paydays. You know, that's the important thing. And a kid got... Nicholas got a... He's a champion.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has more belts than Jake the Snake.
Good.
Yeah. So, yeah. We, you know, Raw and SmackDown the day after Mania is the start of the new season, even though this doesn't really have seasons. It's 52 weeks a year. Never ends. That's why people get injured.
Now, this is not in our notes, but on Monday, about 3 hours before Raw... Donald Trump, WWE Hall of Famer Donald Trump, tried to steal the show, which is not cool to do on the Monday
try to steal the
after
big
Mania.
Show.
And he determined that this year's storyline for the White House is going to be how everyone's out to get him and that the FBI is bullshit. And here's some of that.
So I just heard that they broke into the office of one of my personal attorneys, good man. And it's a disgraceful situation. It's a total witch hunt. I've been saying it for a long time. I've wanted to keep it down. We've given, I believe, over 1 million pages worth of documents to the special counsel. They continue to just go forward. And here we are talking about Syria. We're talking about a lot of serious things with the greatest fighting force ever. And I have this witch hunt constantly going on for... over 12 months now, and actually much more than that. You could say it was right after I won the nomination it started. And it's a disgrace. It's frankly a real disgrace. It's an attack on our country in a true sense. It's an attack on what we all stand for. So when I saw this and when I heard it like you did. I said, that is really now in a whole new level of unfairness. So this has been going on. I saw one of the reporters who is not necessarily a fan of mine, not necessarily very good to me. He said, in effect, that this is ridiculous. This is now getting ridiculous. They found no collusion whatsoever with Russia. The reason they found it is there was no collusion at all. No collusion. This is the most biased group of people. These people have the biggest conflicts of interest I've ever seen. Democrats, just about all, either Democrats or a couple of Republicans that worked for President Obama. They're not looking at the other side. They're not looking at the Hillary Clinton horrible things that she did and all of the crimes that were committed. They're not looking at all of the things that happened that everybody is very angry about, I can tell you, from the Republican side, and I think even the independent side. They only keep looking at us. So they find no collusion, and then they go from there and they say, well, let's keep going. And they raid an office of a personal attorney early in the morning. And I think it's a disgrace. So we'll be talking about it more. But this is the most conflicted group of people I've ever seen. The attorney general made a terrible mistake when he did this and when he recused himself, or he should have certainly let us know if he was going to recuse himself, and we would have put a different attorney general in. So he made what I consider to be a very terrible mistake for the country. But you'll figure that out. All I can say is, after looking for a long period of time, and even before the special counsel, because it really started just about from the time I won the nomination, and you look at what took place and what happened, and it's a disgrace.
Okay, moving on.
FBI is bullshit, but we can agree to disagree for why. So a bunch of call-ups from the NXT brand. Ugh, that's so gross. So we got Ember Moon, No Way Jose, Authors of Pain, the iconic duo, now called the Iconics with two I's, because they couldn't get iconic duo trademarked. Samoa Joe's back from injury. Jeff Hardy's back from injury.
So I watched first hour of Raw live, mm-hmm. and then I had to catch it on Hulu. Ember Moon did not make her debut on Hulu yet.
Oh, wow.
Just wanted to point that out.
Not as important.
I don't think No Way Jose did either.
That was even less important. Samoa Joe, just the best promo.
Well, let's break out the tinfoil hats, because Roman thinks there's a conspiracy. Well, allow me to bring you back to reality, because you see, last night, Brock Lesnar didn't just beat you, no, he exposed you. For over a year, you've been coming out here week after week saying that you were the only one who could beat Brock Lesnar. And the reality is, no matter how many whispers you heard, no matter how many eyes couldn't meet you, you failed. And that makes you a failure.
And it's just because he really does have a legit air of, like, this guy can kick anybody's. Like, you can buy him beating up Brock, because he seems like,
even though he had the best fight with Brock since Punk. Brock, yeah. SummerSlam.
Oh yeah, and his promos against Roman are just great. Who gets to be the real Samoan Joe?
But here's the reason why Samoa Joe will never win the Universal Championship in WWE.
He's fat.
All right.
Big, you know, kind of news we've known but confirmed on screen is that Paige has retired from in-ring competition, mm-hmm. at what, 25?
Something like
27.
That.
And that's, you know, it's sad. She had like a 4-year career. And it was interrupted because of injuries. But she's going, as we found out...
Injuries, but let's be also honest. Injuries and drug use.
Yeah. And okay. Yeah. So, but yeah, she turns turns 26 this year. Mm. So it's kind of crazy that her, what she's been doing since she was in utero, is no longer her profession. And
and when Chris says that, he's not lying. Her mother was a wrestler and actually wrestled while Paige was in utero.
Yeah. So. I think one of those like early months.
Sure.
Yeah.
The same months that Courtney did heroin with Frances Bean. She was pregnant.
Everything turns out fine for everybody. Paige is now the general manager of SmackDown Live, replacing Dan O'Brien, who is returning to active competition, which kind of like a little bit of poetry. She sees, and she mentioned that on Tuesday, that that gives her hope that maybe one day she can get cleared. Maybe one day the Fed will go, well, if you die, it's bad news for us either way. We should make some money with you.
Carmella cashed in.
Yeah, new
loved
champ.
Loved it.
Oh, that's the way that I loved Kyoto, like, are you sure you want to cash in? Like, and she's like, do it. Just screaming.
It's great.
Yeah, she's great. That should be a short reign, but it's great.
I hope it's not. I hope she beats Brock's reign.
I hope she beats Brock, actually.
That'd be great.
Yeah, and speaking of someone who should be fighting Brock at some point, Trump's favorite wrestler.
Yeah.
Bobby Lashley.
Yeah.
My boy, Bobby. He's back from TNA.
They brought him in just so he could do the Brock matches, right?
Yeah. Bobby Lashley, ridiculous physique.
Yeah. A real life MMA fighter, not UFC. Bellator,
but he has a pretty respectable, I think, 15-4, 15-2. Yeah. So he's another real fighter. Mm-hmm. Who does real steroids, allegedly.
Moving on to mainstream culture, not political or professional wrestling. If this was 4 years ago, this would have been the dominant wrestling story for a week.
Right.
But because they released this documentary 2 days after WrestleMania, while SmackDown Live was still airing, the SmackDown after Mania, it's not getting the traction I thought it would have. It's the Andre the Giant documentary on HBO. I just finished it this morning.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think?
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
1 to 10, what do you give it?
A 7'4".
Okay, that's very cute. Yeah. I think it's like a 6. I learned more about Andre from the Box Brown book, Andre the Giant, Life and Legend, from 2014. It's the graphic novel.
Okay, but you also, the graphic novel has stuff that isn't true.
Yeah, but and they say that also, in the graphic novel. Yeah. Just like this documentary has stuff that isn't true, and we'll
like
get to
what?
That in a second.
What is
the last third of it? The first hour, it's like, this is true. I get it. And then the last half hour is mostly about WrestleMania 3.
Yes.
Where Vince says the only reason why he had surgery was so he could do the job for Hogan.
Yeah.
Prove that.
Well, it's Vince, he's a straight shooter.
Another thing, so the more you learn more about the people on camera than you learn about Andre in the last half hour of the doc. You learn more about Hogan and Vince than anything else, which is interesting.
Yes.
Because they'll say stuff, and then they'll have Shoemaker and Meltzer go, not really. Shoemaker will be like, yeah, they've had this match like a dozen times in a dozen different territories.
Yeah, but they also do, you know, I think they do a decent job explaining to non-wrestling fans.
Agreed. I don't disagree.
And they take some liberties with it. They make it, you know, I think friend of the show, Dave Bickenspan, has pointed out, they kind of treat Andre like he was the NWA champ going territory to territory. There's some things in that of the way... They kind of smudged it a little bit, I think, for just to make it more narratively clear without getting too in the weeds
for a general
audience, which I think was fine. And I think the director and Simmons did a podcast interview where they talked about, you kind of like get on when you're doing this, you're on the highway, you're on the road to WrestleMania, and you take an off ramp. And you hit a roadblock, but you can't stay. You can visit, but you can't stay overnight. And that's what they tried to do with getting back to.
And you're
Mania.
Absolutely clearly right, because Andre, they're portraying Andre as like a man on death's door at WrestleMania 3, which is in 87. He doesn't die until 93.
Oh, he doesn't die until he's 46. Yeah, I know. They really fudged the numbers there.
Hear me out. But there could have been easily another hour and a half. Okay, so there's also that new Gary Shandling doc.
Yes,
and it's four and a half hours long.
Right,
and it's a little too long here, but I understand why it was that long. And
because Judd Apatow has to be on screen during every reaction shot.
But if you could cut that down to 3 hours, it's a perfect doc. You could extend this to 3 hours, and I don't think it would be too much. Now, I understand that Gary Shandling is not the same as Andre the Giant, but I wouldn't be upset if there was like a wrestling fan edition of this that's like 6 hours long.
Sure. I think the Andre thing, I agree with the filmmakers that the climax of the story is Mania 3 for him. Because if you look at, we've covered this with his manias and with his career after that. I mean, if you do another hour of how broken down he was, it just becomes like really sad and unnecessarily.
I don't disagree.
Like,
I think you should make the peak Princess Bride.
Yeah, well, because
that's where he crosses over and seems to be enjoying himself, and it wasn't just a match; it was months.
Yeah, he seems to be, but he's also like
and that's
in a lot of pain.
Also, yeah. So we'll move on. Everyone, should, I think it's everyone. Should
I think
watch
everyone
it.
Should watch it. I think yeah. it's really good. I think the last few minutes are really like they're intentionally, you know, heartstring pulling stuff, and it works.
Sure, I would have loved more on the daughter.
Favorite points. Okay, I just real quick. Hogan doing pretty spot on Savage and Andre.
Agreed. That was good.
And explaining why Andre didn't like Savage was great because he too much baby oil. Vince, in like the most telling moment of the documentary, Vince talking about, and we can play the clip.
I have a facility to get rid of negatives very quickly. And if something hurts me, I get rid of it.
He said, I have the facility, right? I think he means I had the like faculties, you know, to like get to remove negative emotions very quickly. It sounds like he has a place where he burns the negatives. It sounds like he's destroying evidence.
Is that what the WWE Hall of Fame is?
Yeah, they just destroy evidence. But no, he talks about how he can kind of just like remove, which is funny because this is something very different than Trump, where I think Trump focuses on this stuff and fixates and can't get over things.
Or
whereas Vince, if it's something that actually hurts him, he can move on from it.
Or he's a liar.
I don't know. He seems the most honest I've seen Vince was in that. There's like a couple moments in this.
I think the most honest you've seen Vince in a long time is the XFL doc, and he got bit in the ass for that.
Yeah, that's how he learned his lesson. He has to destroy that negative. The best moment of clearly though is Pat Patterson sitting in front of an oil painting of himself wearing the same shirt that he is in the oil painting, which is amazing.
Two of my favorite parts that you didn't mention is Andre's assistant.
Mm-hmm.
That guy, he's in a lot. He goes, "There's no crying in wrestling," and I'm thinking is like, "That's all it is."
Yeah, Tim White. No, it's not even like it was referee Tim White who was his like running buddy with that great Boston accent. Yeah, that was sad when he was like, "I wish I could have been there with him at the end." Yeah, that's brutal.
And finally, two things. Andre clearly did not give a shit about wrestling. He just liked people and like having something to do, which is great. He was the Kevin Nash of his day. And number two, all you really need to know about this is it was executive produced by Kevin Dunn. So if you like the work of Total Bellas and Total Divas, you will enjoy
and the product on
Andre
Mondays
the Giant documentary. Really quick, Superstar Shakeup. We should preview that with what's going on in Trump world before we were going to have the shortest WrestleMania recap possible.
Yeah, so I mean, the Superstar Shakeup is going to be both Raw and SmackDown this week.
Yes.
This is the faked, I explained it to a lapsed fan who's getting back into things as it's a fake draft for fake sports. Mm-hmm. And so they're going to move characters around to different shows.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a superstar shakeup in the administration.
Yeah. It's a very fun time.
Kind of though.
So on Monday I was watching, Jake Tapper, cause he's my favorite news person, because him and Chuck Todd actually know about the product.
Yes.
So they'll occasionally throw in wrestling references. So so Jake Tapper brought up Scott Pruitt as the low rent paying limousine riding private jet flying Scott Pruitt, which is amazing. Here's my question to you. Is Scott Pruitt the Jinder Mahal of the administration? Every time you're like, they got to take the belt off of this guy. It's like, nope, we're doing it another month.
He's still trying to get into a diplomat.
It's amazing.
He's still the U.S. champion.
All right, so Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning. It is currently, by the way, Friday, 9:32 a.m.
Yeah.
Wednesday morning, Paul Ryan's like, you know what? I got to go.
He's like, wait, I did what I was here for, which was not being a fiscal hawk. Sorry if you guys all got worked in a shoot to think I actually gave a shit about budgets. I was just trying to enrich the rich, and I did that. I'm out.
So here's, I know this is kind of hacked, but did Paul Ryan literally quit because he had too much winning?
Yeah, that's kind of hack.
I know, but like I've been thinking about that. It's like not necessarily wrong in his description.
Yeah,
I know he's a liar and everything, but it's fucking fake, man.
Yeah, no, caring about budgets was fucking fake.
Yeah. Okay, two more. The FBI raids Michael Says Who Cohen, possible bank fraud and campaign finance violations. If you've read our book, The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling, none of this is surprising.
Right.
Yeah, so it's currently available on Amazon and Audible. On the Amazon ebook edition, it's only $3.16.
Yeah.
The audiobook is not $3.16 because you got to pay more because you can't read.
That's nice. That's
unless
actually,
you're blind. I apologize
actually,
if you're blind.
That's actually Paul Ryan's, that was his was his campaign slogan. You got to pay more.
Libraries are for pussies. Okay.
Yeah, but Cohen, also the news today is that Cohen is known, unlike Trump, for actually recording all his convos. So that'll be fun when all those tapes come out.
He's the Bubba the Love Sponge of the administration. Okay, finally, somewhat related. As of this morning, Trump is now referring to former FBI head James Comey as an untruthful slime ball.
He also called him a leaker, which is when you're talking about the P tape, let's
untruthful slime ball is a horrible, horrible way to get into a feud. That's not catchy in any way.
He's not any, like, I honestly think his promo era is kind of over as he self-destructs.
He's got to get back to Hillary.
He does.
You got to rerun that classic
match. Yeah, it's a great, promo, a great, great program. And the thing is, you get talk about hacks. You get people like Chris Saliza, Chris Slimeball, who's basically like, oh, he's the Michael Jordan of insults. And then he's like, James Comey's a poo-poo head. And it's like, no, that's not any. It's not any good. He hasn't had one since like Lion Marco Rude. You know,
this kind of reminds me of Ultimate Warrior, where like Warrior Rude was a really great program, mm-hmm. and then they put him with Hogan. It was like, where are we going to go from here? And the answer was nowhere. Just yeah. bigotry. It's like, this isn't fun anymore. Finally, I want to end this episode with something that both men both love, pun intended. Yesterday morning, according to Ronan Farrow's reporting in The New Yorker, the National Enquirer paid doorman Dino Sajudin $30,000 in exchange for the rights to a rumor. You could sell rumors.
Yeah.
It's called the dirt sheets that Trump fathered an illegitimate child with one of his former employees at Trump World Towers. That's the one in New York, not D.C.
Wait, the WWF, the World?
The Titan World Towers.
No, the WWF, the World, the restaurant they had in New York?
Yes, it was there. Okay. That's where Trump
fathered. Literally there, yeah.
That's why Brock was so mad. It was with Sable, everybody. Let's spread that rumor. Sajudin's statement may be my favorite thing this week because here's what he said. As a statement, as like an official statement, I can confirm that while working at Trump World Tower, I was instructed not to criticize President Trump's former housekeeper due to a prior relationship she had with President Trump, which produced a child.
Yeah.
He verified it in his statement.
Right. He gets it.
It's fucking great. And clearly, the reason why that made me happy is because that reminded me of a WWE storyline from 2007.
Stop talking in riddles! Who's my son?
Things are looking up, Mr. McMahon, but not for you, for your son, Hornswoggle.